In the Wild West world of podcasting, there is one podcast that is authentic and genuine and continues to stand tall in its originality. Based on a passion for his guests, their work, and his love of podcasting, Derek Thomas and Monday Morning Critic Podcast get amazing, diverse, unique guests found nowhere else. The variety and quality are endless. There is something for everyone. Derek Thomas is the hero you deserve. He's a silent guardian, a watchful protector. Welcome to Monday Morning Critic Podcast. Here is Derek Thomas.
So who are some of the musical artists you like a lot?
That is actually, I love that question. I am obsessed with Slash. I have Van Halen posters on my wall, Aerosmith and Johnny Cash, but I love Slash, Steve Vai. They're probably my top two.
I was not expecting Steve Vai to come out of your mouth, but that's a great answer. That's
I bought his book.
You know what? They're really Slash is fantastic, but like I've got sucked into TikTok the last few years. Like they are so cruel to the lead singer, Axl Rose. Like they're because his voice, because you know how he has to hit those pitches. Like you can't do that. Yeah. I mean, he's been doing that for like, I don't know what, 40 years, 30 years. Like that's gotta take its toll after a certain amount of time. I mean,
no, seriously. And he's still like, I want to see their shows right now so bad. I saw Slash when I was 16 and I forgot the name of the place down up in San Francisco though.
Yeah. Nice. So you've got to be super excited. You got a lot going on. You Can't Run Forever is just around the corner, mid May, right? So tell me about your early stuff, Isabel, your early career and what you really wanted to be because I feel like the acting the music is just apparent now for me. Tell me about yourself, your life, anything you wanted to get out there.
Well, I guess I moved to California in like 2015, and then a couple of years later I started acting when I was about 14, so like freshman in high school.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did, it was called Donnie's Bar Mitzvah. It's like a raunchy comedy.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that movie is just hilarious. Me and my friends still watch it and laugh. Did a guest star and then another little something a little while ago, but
would you say this is your biggest break, I guess? Would you say this is so far?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially a lead. It was definitely something I wanted to do justice.
Yeah. Even in like the trailer, like you dominate I haven't seen the movie yet. And that's good because I like seeing stuff in the theater. I like screeners, but if I have my choice, I'd rather see it in the theater. That's how I look at things. But you know, yeah, and you're featured predominantly. We're gonna get to the movie in a second, the trailer. So you mentioned Steve Vai and Slash for musical influences. What about acting influences, Isabel?
That's another great question. I really love Johnny Depp and Helene Bonham Carter and some actresses right now that I genuinely just aspire to be is Anya Taylor-Joy, Florence Pugh. I love their work and they always seem to move me. Oh, and Jennifer Lawrence for sure.
Yeah. She's got a great sense of humor. You know, you mentioned some great names. I feel like Johnny Depp gets a bad rap. I feel like he's like a terrific actor. Like I feel like he's a guy that's been doing it for a long time. Like if you're an actor, that's a great, like, I don't know if you're familiar with everything he's done, but like the ending of Blow, like just melts my heart every time I see it.
That's on my list. I've been really wanting to watch it, especially because of Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, she's terrific. She's terrific. So tell me about the audition process for You Can't Run Forever, right? Because like if I told you your big break's going to come with J.K. Simmons chasing you and wanting to kill you throughout a movie, I mean, what better way to get into it, like to have your big break? Like what a fun way to have that done.
Oh my gosh. I also love this question because when I read the script, as you could see in the trailer, my character is in a couple trees.
Yeah.
So I put on the clothes that it said she was wearing in the script and I went to the park down the street from my house and spent the day in the tree.
Did you have to do like, so I would imagine you do a lot of running in this. I haven't seen the movie. So the trailer, you're on the run. Did you have to do a lot of cardio stuff as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was definitely just like gorging on everything because I was starting to lose weight. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, believe me, that's when you get older like me, you become fat and you can't get rid of it. But you know, that's terrific, because like I feel like there's two movies out with serial killers that are coming out that I'm really looking forward to. This is one, and the other's with Josh Hartnett. It was M. Night's movies is coming out too with Josh Hartnett. He plays a serial killer. So two great movies coming. Talk about the audition process for this, Isabel. Was it tough? Were you competing against a lot of people? Or what, did you feel like you had it from the start?
Something about the script definitely resonated with me. I could relate to Miranda very much so. And I don't know how competitive it was. I actually got the call back and did the call back on my birthday, my 18th birthday.
Oh, nice.
it was definitely my birthday wish. I was just like, just get this, do a good job. And I was totally understanding, honestly, if I didn't get the role or not. I just really wanted them to do her story justice.
Yeah. So the caption says she suffers from anxiety. Do they go into that? Do they develop that in the movie? Like, do they tell why your character, Miranda, is going through all this anxiety?
Yeah, we do. It's definitely, I would say the movie has a bigger meaning of like that kind of awareness.
Yeah. Are you a fan of like, have you seen Silence of the Lambs? This has a little bit of a Silence of the Lambs vibe as far as like serial killer being chased the entire time in a different way, but another.
Wait, yes, I have. I don't know.
Yeah. That's with Hannibal Lecter, and he's So talk about working with J.K. Simmons, because I mean, he's an Academy Award winner. If I had to list 20 actors if I was an actor, I'd want to work with, he would be certainly on that list. Talk about working with him and maybe what you've learned, because I feel like, yeah, this is your big break. I mean, you've done other things. You're an accomplished actor, but man, I would want to learn everything from this man. Like, I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh yeah. Working with him was really cool because I got to see a professional in his element, but it wasn't like scary or like weird, because he's really nice guy. And just working with him but learning from him, when I wouldn't be working, I'd still show up on set to watch everybody act, because I just love watching everybody and how their process is. And I'm gonna say, I don't really.
But that's smart. I'm so glad that you said that. That's so smart that you do that. Like, I don't know why some actors would like say, you know, hey, I'm out. Like, I'm good today. Like, the chance, what you just said is so key, I think, to becoming a great actor as you get older.
Well, yeah, it's like you can get no better learning experience than watching everyone else.
Isabel, is he ever so good on screen? Because obviously he plays this serial killer that I don't know how you would describe, how I would describe him to somebody that is listening now, just from watching a trailer and reading about the movie. Is he somebody that lost his mind? Is he somebody that's a little bit, I guess it's all of the above. He's insane. He kind of does it for sport because he likes to torment people. He's killing people without reason the entire trailer. Is he ever so good that sometimes you kind of forget you're working, you're acting? Is he ever that good?
Yeah, I would definitely say a couple times when I was running in the woods, I was like, get me away, run.
Yeah, that adds to it. And I'm like, when I watched the trailer, I'm like, she's got to get that yellow shirt off. Like that's not helping her cause at all.
I know,
like,
right?
It's like, what? It's like, I mean, I don't know. I just felt like that. But that movie itself, this movie, I think it's going to do really well, because people have it's going to sound so strange, affinity for serial killers. I think people are obsessed with them. Like, I'm not saying they love them, but I think they love movies about them.
No, I definitely am one of those people.
Yeah. Have you guys had the premiere yet? Or is that, because I know the movie releases on the 17th, I think, either the 17th or the 19th. Have they had the big premiere yet?
No, we did have a screening a year or two ago, but not a premiere yet.
Yeah. So his wife, Michelle Schumacher, is the director. Okay. Talk about, and his daughter's in the movie too, right? Olivia.
Yes.
So talk about that dynamic, working with JK, his wife, Michelle, who's the director, and his daughter, Olivia, who's also acting in the movie.
Honestly, it was the best experience I ever had, because Michelle is just so brilliant. She thought of things like, there's so many small symbols in the movie that she thought of, and I would not have even noticed them if she didn't tell me. And the way that I worked with Michelle was just so collaborative, and she let me be free, but also, like, I don't know, I really could see her vision, and she was very vocal about it. And especially working with Olivia, I love her. She's definitely a good friend of mine to this day. And it was just a really fun, like, we were like a family on set.
Yeah. I didn't know that Michelle was she's a black belt in Taekwondo. Like, I don't think I've ever heard a director that's a black belt in Taekwondo.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's insane. I read it in a couple of places that she's a black belt. How long did this take to shoot the entire, from start to finish for you?
I was out in Montana for about 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks.
Yeah. You put pressure on yourself, Isabel. Like, you're in Montana, 5.5 weeks. You want to get this right. It's your big break. Or are you somebody that kind of, you're confident in your ability? You know, you've got it down. I don't, to me, like, if this is my, like, I'm very, to talk about anxiety, I would drive myself nuts if I was an actor. Like, I got to get this right. I got to get my lines right. Are you like your character anyway with anxiety?
For sure. For sure. Except the only aspect in my life that I do not get anxiety in is acting, which is why I love it so much. So I actually wasn't freaking out. And especially with Michelle, she was talking me through a lot of it. So it was just amazing.
What were your first impressions when you saw the premiere, the screening?
Oh my God. I'm not going to lie. The first 10 minutes I was crying. So I was not hearing or seeing anything. I was just like watching the screen and I was like,
Yeah. But when you see yourself, are you super proud of what you've done? I mean, you're up there, you're in front of a bunch of people. I mean, you've got to be proud of yourself. I mean, to put it mildly.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very proud of myself, but I'm really happy that I can make my parents proud.
Yeah. How do you deal with anxiety in the real world, right? Acting doesn't give you anxiety, right? It's kind of the opposite. Like, I mean, without getting like too personal or whatever you're comfortable with, how do you deal with anxiety? Music's probably a good way, I would bet.
Yeah, definitely guitar. But as of right now, I'm really having a problem with reading too many books. I just read a lot.
Yeah. What are movies or shows that you are into on the, like, that's, I, for me, that's the way I escape the real world. I go into movies, and you said books just now. How about a movie or a show that you're, or shows that you're into?
I'm obsessed with Game of Thrones. I've
rewatched
a billion times.
Yeah.
And then to completely go the opposite way, I love SpongeBob.
I was not expecting those two. I like your answers with your music, your favorite shows. Game of Thrones is terrific. I mean,
except not to hate on it, the last season was actually pretty good. I know a lot of people don't like it. The only thing is, let my girl Daenerys live.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are upset with that last season, and I think she people are like, oh, she had to die. I don't agree. I'm with you on that. I think she could have been okay. I think you got to let her go. I think you have to let her live.
Yeah, but it was also very poetic, and which was a tragedy. I don't know, love and hate it so much.
And there's so many great characters, like the Hound. Oh, I love it. Like, he was just like, there's characters you could just tune in just to watch those characters. Like, that that is unique, you know. But so the other thing I want to ask you a couple more questions, and thank you for this time. I really appreciate it.
Oh my God, of course.
what is around the corner for you as far as projects after this?
As of projects after this, just been auditioning a lot lately. This year, I had a bit of a rough start with some things that were thrown in me and my family's way. So I kind of was just like dealing with that for the first couple months. And so now I'm just kind of getting back into it, just focusing on, you know, my art and craft and what I want to do.
Isabel, for people that are looking for a movie to watch in mid-May, describe this movie. I mean, I'm kind of hinting at the trailer, which they can watch in 2 minutes, but tell me from your perspective what the movie's about and how it evolves a little bit. You don't have to say, you say whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay. I would say the title, You Can't Run Forever, it has another meaning that people don't really think. It's think you can't run forever from this man. But actually, the metaphor that I personally take from it is you can't run forever from your problems, your anxieties. Like, you have to face them one way or another. And that's the point that's like a big part of the movie, is her facing her past traumas.
Yeah, and that's a real thing. I feel like anxiety, like people dismiss it. Oh, you know, you're this, this or that. Anxiety is like a real, like it's debilitating for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell me about, so acting, I get, how does the music park work for you? Do you do it every day? Is it something you do just when you get the urge? How does your musical part of your career unfold? Do you play in front of people? How does that work? Do you do like different gigs? I don't know how that works.
I used to be in a band, actually, an all-girls nice. Band. Well, then we had a male drummer, and everyone was so talented. We would play House of Blues and some places on Sunset, and we actually played my high school's prom at the House of Blues on the main stage. I was the lead guitarist, and sadly, we broke up 2 years ago, but no hate. I hope the best for them, but I miss playing with them for sure. But as of now, it's just piano, guitar. Just playing for me, not really anyone else right now.
So all this started, had to start early on because, you know, piano's an instrument you have to devote some serious time to. I mean, guitar too. Everyone loves the guitar, but when they start playing it, they realize how frustrating it can be if you don't dedicate yourself to it. Like it could be people find out really quick how difficult both of those instruments are. Did you find them difficult when you took them up early on?
I can't tell you how many times I've almost just shattered my guitar.
Well, you got three of them, so you got a couple. You got a couple in you. You could just smash a couple, and
these are just my special. I have about like 10, but like not. I got them like this. This one, the red one.
Yeah, the red one.
My friend, when he passed, he wanted me to have the guitar, so I name all my guitars. The white one is my first electric guitar ever, and it's an Epiphone. Les Paul, and I named it Orianthe.
So help a guy who doesn't really understand, you know, guitars. Now to have a lot of, I mean, I know, I get why you have a couple, the ones on behind you on the wall, but do they play differently? Do they feel differently when you're holding them? Is that why guitarists have a variety of guitars?
For sure. When I graduated, my graduation gift was a very expensive Fender Strat, and she sounds beautiful. However, my favorite guitar is a $50 guitar from some guy's garage, and my God, I named her Jessica.
how crazy is that? You see these people paying thousands and thousands of dollars for guitars, but your favorite is one that you found in a garage for $50. How awesome is that?
She just had a lot of personality in her past life, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. Is it ever your, I don't want to say dream, but is it ever a goal to have a role where you have to showcase your musical abilities?
My God, yes. Like, yeah. I want to be, for the longest time, I wanted to be the girl version of Slash. I just wanted to shred, be on stage, and I would copy him on stage. I'd like make my hair frizzy and cover it, and I'd be like, ah.
what is your favorite GNR song that, maybe not necessarily overall, but like maybe from a guitarist point of view, right? Because they're all different depending on what Slash is playing, but like, what's your favorite?
Honestly, it's Don't Cry. That solo, there's a Slash played that solo, and I would watch all their live videos. Like I've watched every band's live concerts on YouTube. So Slash did Don't Cry in Tokyo. I forgot what year, but that, the way he played it in front of those people, that live sound, that is what made me want to become a guitarist.
Yeah. Isabel, my favorite Guns N' Roses is the acoustic. They came out with an acoustic album, I want to say. And it was like Patience is on it. That acoustic slow kind of like, oh my God. There's something really beautiful about acoustic that really, do you have an acoustic guitar?
Oh yeah, I do.
What is it about acoustic, Isabel? Go ahead. I'm sorry. What are you saying?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I can play. My mom's favorite Guns N' Roses song is Patience. So I learned to play it on acoustic for her.
Yeah. There's something really special about acoustic, especially when it comes out of a band like that. Like, I mean, that whole album, I love acoustic stuff. November Rain. Do you like, I mean, is it a different learning curve between an acoustic guitar and some of the ones that are behind you? Or do they play differently?
So, because personally for me, it's a little harder to press the strings down on an acoustic, but it's easier to, you know, like shred on an electric. So I purposefully learned how to play guitar, the basic, on acoustic so that my fingers would get really strong for the electric.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all about like, once your fingers start to go, like you get problems, because there's guitarists over time that they, their fingers get, I don't know what you describe it as, but it's harder for them to grip the guitar as they get older, because it's a really hard instrument to play. Like, that's impressive that you can do that.
Oh, yeah. I used to play till my fingers would bleed and I'd get like blood all over my guitar, but I would love that. I'd be like, yeah, bro, look, I just.
And were your parents super supportive about you playing in the house and being loud? And like, that's great that that's an awesome thing, right?
Oh my gosh. My dad has like these little drums and he'd always beg me to play and he'd be like playing on them with me.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Oh, do you have any siblings?
Yeah, an older brother.
Does he look at your work? Is he super proud of what you've done on state on you know, in TV and movies, musically? Is your brother super proud of you?
He made it to all of my band's concerts, and he actually started, when I started acting, he did it with me. And I didn't feel like, I was honestly a little nervous going into the industry, but it was a lot more comforting going in with my brother by my side.
Did you bring a guitar to Montana?
No, however, I couldn't bring it because I flew there. So I made really good friends with some people on set. I asked them, because she said their husband, who was also working on set, had a lot of guitars. And I was like, can I come over and borrow a guitar for the whole time we're on set? And they're like, yes. So I went over and I took a guitar.
Oh, so you did have a guitar on set. So you just didn't bring one of your own.
Yeah. Shout out Nina.
Very, very cool. I am psyched for the movie. Like, the trailer just looks like it's going to be anxiety driven. It's going to get, you know, people are going to be scared out of their wits. Like, I've never seen J.K. Simmons in a role like this. I feel like he's just ruthless in this movie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, when the trailer gets you scared, you know you have something good going on. Yeah. Oh. Isabel, I have to say, I am super psyched for this. I'm super psyched to watch how your career unfolds. And I really look forward to watching your career path. Is there a type of role you'd love to have? Is there a certain, outside of a musical role, is there one that you really want to embrace, one that you've always wanted to do? Maybe a comedic role. You seem like you have a great sense of humor, a comedic role, something like that.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I don't find myself very funny. When I make myself laugh, it's because I'm like cringing at myself.
See, that was funny.
That was like, I guess because I read a lot of books. There's a couple of them that I'm like praying become adaptations, and I would like do anything to get the lead girl in those books.
So when you say books, Isabel, tell me something you read. Tell me something you really like. Like Harry Potter books. Like, were you when you were younger a big Harry Potter person?
No, I wasn't actually. And I only recently got into reading. There's an author, Madeline Miller, and I read her book Song of Achilles, and it's probably one of my favorite books. But then I saw another book she wrote called Circe. The Songs of Achilles was a retelling of the Iliad, and Circe's a retelling of the Odyssey. And
gotcha.
The difference about the Odyssey one is it's a retelling through a woman's eyes and solely her story. And it's just so strong and empowering. Like, I would love if I could ever play like anything as powerful as that. And she's, yeah.
But when you read, are you one of those people that read and just peck away a little at a time? Or when you read, are you like, no joke, I'm going through this sucker? Like, what kind of reader are you when it comes to that?
Oh, it's happened. My dad gets mad at me because he gets up to work at 5 a.m. and he'll walk in the house and I'm still reading. And I'm like, and I see him and I'm like, oh my God, it's 5. And he's like, Isabel, go to bed.
So you've been reading the entire night?
Yeah.
Oh my, you have a book addiction.
It's so bad. I have way too many books.
Wow. I was not expecting that. That's really cool. But thank you so much for coming on, Isabel. I'm looking forward to the movie and I hope you come back sometime.
Thank you for listening to Derek Thomas and Monday Morning Critic Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can also connect with Monday Morning Critic on Instagram and Facebook, MDM Critic on Twitter, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are found. All episodes available, www.mmcpodcast.com.